We're not going to go over those. You can take them home and keep them for right on whatever you want to do with them. They're yours. We're going to have some more thoughts on the introduction before we get in the book, into the book proper, and to see the background of this book. This is a marvelous book, and it's the longest and the really the most important of the most important. How can we say that? And really, they're all important. I was talking to someone about the minor prophets, and we know they're not minor. They're just smaller. And the truth in them is just as great as in these longer prophecies. This book of Isaiah is written in Hebrew poetry in the original, and we'll be reading some of that after when we get into the verses themselves. But we're going to begin over in chapter 6, and this is the call that the Holy Spirit gave to Isaiah. We'll give you the meaning of Isaiah. It's on the sheets we passed out, but it's a variation of this meaning. Its salvation is of Jehovah, and it's interesting that the Hosea, the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, has the same meaning. Hosea also means salvation is of Jehovah. Isaiah prophesied to Judah and Jerusalem. Hosea prophesied to the 10 tribes. So God had them each one at this time, and they prophesied at the same time. Isaiah prophesied to the 2 tribes while Hosea was prophesying to the 10 tribes. This vision in Isaiah 6 is the Holy Spirit calling Isaiah to the ministry that God wanted him to have. And it's called the temple vision. And let's just read on down here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. This is Adonai, and it speaks of Jesus Christ. We studied all the titles of Jehovah here, not too many months ago or years ago. Time goes so fast. But this is what we have discovered, that this Lord is Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-I, and it speaks of Jesus Christ. So he saw him up there, my, before he came to earth. But he was sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We're not going to go into this in detail at this time, but when we get to chapter 6, we will. But above it stood the seraphims, that is, above this throne stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings, with 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet, with 20 did fly. Seraphim means a burning one. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. My, he saw a vision, didn't he? This Lord of hosts, as we know, is Jehovah Sabaoth. Lord of hosts. He has mentioned this title so often among the prophets. And the post, that is the foundations of the threshold, moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. See, the calling of Isaiah came right out of the throne room. The Holy Spirit called him. He didn't listen to man, but he listened to the Holy Spirit. So it originated from the throne of God. And in this fifth verse, we're going to see that Isaiah recognizes that he's unclean. He says, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isn't that marvelous? He saw him in this vision. And that, I think of Paul right away. You know, on the Acts 9, when he saw the Lord in all of his glory, the glorified Lord, and he was up there and Paul fell down. Oh my, that's going to be a glorious sight when we arrive there. But notice what happens. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So the cleansing agent here was a live coal, live. And from the root of Hebrew, this word live means to be set on fire. And it's the figure of an arrow as flashing through the air. Isn't that marvelous? Praise the Lord. And it speaks of the word of God that's burning in the heart. And it resulted in Isaiah's iniquity taken away and his sin purged. And this is the truth in all of this. Now, there was another prophet right next door. Let's go to Jeremiah and the 20th chapter. This is a little different aspect of this burning, but it's the same thought of the burning is what we want to bring in. Then we'll go back there to the 6th chapter. Jeremiah 20 and the 7th verse. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, and you know, I think of what these dear men went through. These Israel wouldn't listen to them. But he says in the 7th verse, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, he made up his mind. He says, I will not make mention of him, nor will I speak in his name any more. But, notice what happened. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with foreboding, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, or that he would quit, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. That's sad. But notice, the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. Think of these words tonight. Think of this. The Lord never forgets his enemies. But he said, O Lord of hosts, there's that title again, Jehovah Sabaoth, that triest the righteous. That's what many saints are going through now. He's trying us. And seest the reins and the heart. That's what he's looking on. Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Sing unto the Lord. He sure changed, didn't he? He didn't want to even talk about the Lord, and now he says, sing unto the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. See how the Holy Spirit can change you? He can do it right quick when he wants to. All right, in the 6th chapter there of Isaiah now, in verses 9 and 10, we read here the theme of Isaiah's call. And he said unto me, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. This is what he's going to tell them. You can hear, but you're not going to understand it. You see and ye indeed, but you will not perceive it. Make the heart of this people fat. This is the 6th chapter and the 10th verse now. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So there we see that the message that Isaiah is going to bring to this people. This message that he was going to bring included redemption. It included the greatness and the majesty of God. This book is full. This book is rich. What he's going to tell this people, Israel and the nations, is going to be glorious. But yet, it's going to be judgment too. So his message is going to include redemption. His message is going to include the greatness and the majesty of God, his holiness, his hatred of sin, and the folly of idolatry. But also, he's going to talk of his grace, his mercy and love, and the blessed rewards of obedience. And that's what I love, is obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And he was to continue telling them this. Now notice the 11th verse. He says, then said I, Lord, how long? How long am I supposed to tell them this? And the Lord answered him, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away. He's going to take them out of the land. And there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. See, this is how long. He didn't give them a time schedule, did he? He just told them until all of this happens. And this is, I think, the way we can look at prophecy. We don't know the day or the hour when the Lord's coming, but the Lord tells us the signs of his coming, and when we don't have to be ignorant of the coming of the Lord. All right, want to speak just a minute on Isaiah's wife in chapter 8:3. We're just giving you a background to begin with. She's called a prophetess, chapter 8:3. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shal Al Hashbaz, and we'll get into the meaning of those names. That'd sure be a name to call if you called someone to dinner, wouldn't it? His children were considered by him as not belonging merely to himself. There in chapter 8 and the 18th verse, notice what his children were for. Chapter 8:18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs or tokens and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And on our sheet we handed out, there's some thoughts on that. But in their names, they point out the judgments of God on his people and the world, and yet tell of his mercy to the elect. Then over in the 20th chapter, if I go too fast, just roll me up. In the 20th chapter and the 2nd verse, we're told of his garment. There's so much we're going to get into in this. Chapter 20 and the 2nd verse. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Here he was silently preaching of repentance, which was the message that the Lord gave to Isaiah. And all of this we'll get into later. All right, among the key words of this book is save and salvation. I don't know if I got an accurate count on them, but I looked in Strong's. And the word save is mentioned 13 times, according to my counting. Okay. You may want to recount them. And salvation, we found out, was mentioned 28 times. So this book is regarding Isaiah's, the meaning of his name, salvation is of the Lord. All right, this book is prophetic of Israel and the Gentile nations. And we find that in chapters 1 through 35. I want to, just while you're writing that down, I'm going to tell you this. Every time I start a book, I'm telling Glenn this, and I've done this ever since I began teaching, I get so thrilled to get into open up, and I mentioned this when we started Corinthians, it's like you open a treasure chest. And there's so much in that book that just thrills your heart. And you just love to be able to give it out, and we trust that the Holy Spirit will enable us to. That others will see what we see in this book. It's a glorious book. It's a majestic book. So from chapters 1 through 35, it's prophetic of Israel and the Gentile nations. Then chapters 36 to 39, it's historic. It relates to Hezekiah's reign. Then in chapters 40 to 66, it's messianic, especially regarding the deliverance of a remnant in Israel. At the end days. and we're going to see that. There's going to be a nation born in a day. That's going to be that's going to be that little remnant that's going to be left after the 7 years and the terrible judgments that are going to come upon this world. And I was thinking today, people really don't think this is coming, you know. Even some of God's people, their affection is set down here, and they think they're just going to be able to fulfill every purpose they want to down here, but they're not. The Lord's going to come, and he's going to turn this world upside down. The whole world, England too.
Yeah.
He is. He's going to do it. And I thank the Lord, but we'll be with him.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. All right, Isaiah here is a type of Jesus Christ in the sense of seeking to help his people. In that regard, he is a type of Jesus Christ. This book has been called sometimes the fifth gospel. You want these thoughts? The fifth gospel. It's been called the fifth evangelist. It's been called the golden prophecy, the prince of prophets, the prophet of hope, and the evangelical prophet, the fifth evangelist. And then the golden prophecy, the prince of prophets, the prophet of hope, and the evangelistic prophet. Okay, ready? All right, there's 66 direct quotations from Isaiah in the New Testament. And there's 85 quotations and allusions to Isaiah in the New Testament. That's a little different now. 66 direct quotations from Isaiah and 85 quotations and allusions to Isaiah in the New Testament. And 20 of the 27 New Testament books quote from Isaiah. Think of that. See how important this book is. 20 of the 27 New Testament books quote from Isaiah. And 12 of the New Testament books have direct quotations from Isaiah. You want me to repeat that? Okay. 20 of the 27 New Testament books quote from Isaiah. And 12 of the New Testament books have direct quotations from Isaiah. So these writers of the New Testament knew the Old Testament. They knew it. And God used it. About the old is hid in the new? How does that go? I've got it somewhere in the front of my Bible. The new is in the old concealed, another one. The old is by the new revealed. So, yes, that's another one.